Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, December 18th, 2017, and you are listening to the Three Geek Senate. The Senate is now in session. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano.
And my name is Paul Bradford.
And I'm Robert Buxar.
And the three of us have finally been released from our carbonite imprisonment, just in time to come to you guys and talk about Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. Guys, we got a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
Now, I assume we all saw it this past Thursday.
Yes.
Yes.
All right,
yes,
so we've had absolutely the weekend to let it sink in, to let it percolate. I wanted to see it again between then and now, but I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, but I've been marinating in it, and it's been, God, I don't, once we start getting into this,
soup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I've got some mixed feelings on it, man.
Well, Me too. Like, good things, bad things, and I've obviously wanted to see it on Thursday so that we didn't get hit by spoilers online. We didn't get hit by the tons of reviews. And they've been pouring in, both good and bad. And actually, this weekend, I almost got into a flame war on stupid Facebook by a comment I made that was pretty neutral. I gave my opinion. I think Tim Weisberg posted something. And I responded to his post, and someone else jumped on, kind of guns blazing, and said, "Whoa, hey, let's not make it personal. You want to talk the movie? I'm happy to, but if you're gonna make this personal, you are, knocking on the wrong door."
Right. So, it's unfortunately it's kind of a volatile situation right now. Just following stuff in the, as far as like what outlets are reporting on it and reviews and just I'm not a big Rotten Tomatoes supporter, but you start looking at that and it's got a high, and it's weird because this one's flipped. It's very high on the approval ratings on that site by all the reviewers, but you go and look at it and it's got like a 53% approval rating by the audience. So that's by the fans and the people that went and saw it. So it's a very, very weird situation right now with the movie, I think.
All right, so let's do it like this. Since the very first podcast of Three Geeks in It was to share about how much we loved Rogue One, it's very fitting that we're back with The Last Jedi.
Oh, Paul, wow.
Is this a year?
It was pretty close. Rogue One was December.
Yeah, it was the same time. It was the same weekend. So I think this may actually be a one-year anniversary podcast, incidentally.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, guys!
Yeah. How's it going, Nami?
Hugs for everybody. Long distance hugs.
Very typically, all three of us males completely forgot about the anniversary.
Yeah.
I didn't get you anything.
I didn't get you anything
either.
Virtual hugs all around.
Virtual.
That's right.
Now, Paul, we're going to start with you. Just, to keep in form, like we did. Tell me something you loved about The Last Jedi, and then something you didn't like.
Honestly, I think the thing I like the most would probably have to be the humor, actually. I enjoyed that. I know a lot of people thought there was perhaps too much, but I liked the fact that the underlying theme of the movie was more sort of along the lines of out with the old, in with the new, but, you know, there's a lot of humor in the middle of it all. As far as what the thing I dislike the most would be Princess Leia's Mary Poppins thing. sorry, it wasn't Princess Leia, is it? It's General
Organa.
General Organa.
Organa, yeah. And but yeah, that whole Mary Poppins thing. I thought it was like when it exploded, when the missile hit and her and Agbar went flying out into space, I was like, oh, so that's how she's going to die. Because we know, that's the thing. It's like watching Fast and Furious, you know, with the last Fast and Furious. We knew that Paul Walker had died. How were they going to do that? How were they going to have his death and things like that? So you kind of, it was already there and you're just waiting for it to happen.
How is it going to translate on the big screen?
Right, and just like the Fast and Furious, they didn't kill her off.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They didn't kill off Paul Walker's character in the Fast and Furious.
Oh, you know, it was the weirdest thing. When I was watching that, I flashed back to Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, oh, she could survive out there. Yeah. Someone's going to go grab her.
Yeah. But that was the it's like, yeah, that was a weird thing. But that, like, when she passed away earlier this year, I'm pretty sure she had already finished filming all of her stuff for the movie. So yeah. they did not change the movie in any way to accommodate her passing.
Death. No,
right.
Well, the ironic thing is that of the three main big characters, the only one whose character survived is the only actor who died in real life.
Right. Right. Which is it's peculiar. I mean, it's an odd way to go about it. But I think the only way to that they can do this with the next movie, I mean, surely, is to do a time jump forward. It was a little weird. But I'm not gonna start interjecting now. I'll wait until my turn. But I just wanted to comment on that.
I kind of had a feeling. I mean, in my head, I kind of have a feeling that the next installment will begin with a funeral.
Yeah,
in some way, something.
That's how I feel like it's going to. There's not going to be a how she died. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be. It was her time. She passed away, and there's going to be a big funeral, and that's how it will start. So that there's no CGI. There's no, you know what I mean. That way they don't CGI her. It's just going to be a send off.
Yeah,
and then on with the story.
I mean, her family did give permission. They said, look. If you guys want to CGI her, you can. But, you know, Lucasfilm said, no, we're not. Don't worry about it. Like, we respect her, and that's it. She's gone.
Yeah. So I suspect the person would do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's a more classy move to opt out of, you know, CGIing her in.
Like, that's a sad moment, and it's gonna be sad next movie with all three of the mains gone. But
you did mention...
All right, yeah. We're going to get to your craziness later,
oh my God, not the Han Solo
thing. I was waiting for him to show up on Crait. Like, hey, he's going to crash into the big thing. Han Solo is going to come out of nowhere to rescue him because Rob.
That would have been amazing, would it not? That would have been amazing.
That would have made your day.
That would have saved the goddamn movie.
But, Paul, you mentioned the humor.
Yeah.
This is, this is probably the funniest of all the Star Wars movies, and I love
how, I would say so.
In the beginning, Poe Dameron, totally jerky boyed. The First Order. He pretty much phone pranked the First Order, and I thought that was great.
Honestly, we've been waiting 2 years. We have waited 24 months for Luke Skywalker to take that lightsaber and light it up, and he throws it over his shoulder instead. You know, I just thought that was amazing. It was complete. I honestly was thrown out. You know, that knocked me for six because I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that either. It was a very casual, like, kind of move. Yeah. I thought, like, at least he kind of throws like John Zaffis, just like a little limp-wristed to throw. But I was waiting for some grand gesture in the music, and he just tosses it over his shoulders, like, what?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It made me laugh. I was like, wow.
That's where, like, the double edge of this movie started with me. Like, you know, I'm always for, like, you know, I even said it with, like, even Rogue One. You know, Rogue One was a lot of fan service. You know, that was, and sometimes fan service is good and sometimes it's bad.
It's not, though. Rogue One was a touch.
Force Awakens
was fan service.
I love Rogue One. Fan service gives you what you want, but not what you need. And, like, there's a lot of time, like, you need sometimes a director in a movie to give you something that you didn't know that you needed. And when you're watching it, you're like, man, they took it in a great way, you know, and it was something new. And I mean, but to just constantly give you everything that you want, it's kind of pandering and it's not adding to the depth of the universe itself.
So I guess while we're on you, Rob, to give us the thing you liked and thing you didn't like.
The thing I liked the most was the reappearance of Puppet Yoda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, that right there, that kind of fucked me up, guys. got me right in the feels. but no, I mean, like, I'm sitting in the theater and I'm watching this, and just to kind of jump forward into where I felt with Luke and just kind of just embracing that moment, like Luke was kind of out there for most of the movie. Like, he was gone. He's this guy that he's just done. He's absolutely done with everything.
Hermit.
And then at that moment when Yoda comes back, it's like Yoda, kind of Yoda proper from Empire.
Yeah.
That same attitude, and it's the puppet Yoda, and it still doesn't look exactly like that Empire Yoda, but it was really, really freaking close. But that's the moment that the Luke Skywalker that I wanted to see in that movie came back. That moment when he appears with Yoda, you suddenly see, you know, Mark Hamill did a great job with the character that he was given for the movie. I'm not going to take that away from him. He did a great job in that as Luke Skywalker written in that movie.
Well, there's something he said that, I mean, we read it before, and I've read it since, that Mark Hamill said, look, I disagree with every choice you've made for this character. It's just wrong. Yep. But you're the director, and I'll do what you want.
And that's the way I feel about it, and I feel the same way.
Yeah.
He did a great job with the material that he was given. He did a fantastic job.
I feel like it was Luke acting un-Luke-like. But Hamill did a great job doing it.
It was almost written. This is going to get into my deeper feelings about how the movie was done, but it was almost written as a way of making us dislike Luke so we could move on from Luke. Mm. Because the overall theme of the movie is the whole let the past, you know, me and Paul talked about this just briefly over the weekend, because I haven't talked to many people about
it's very difficult to not talk about something,
right? And we tried to hold back a little
and we did I mean, like, honestly, we were like, and then we were like, stop, what are we doing?
Right,
you know, it is really one of those things where, like, when you're in a room with even with people who have seen the movie as well, you want so bad to talk about it.
Oh yeah.
The whole movie is about letting go of the past, kill it, destroy it, make something new. And I was trying not to deviate into it too much, but just it feels like that's what the entity of Disney is doing with the Star Wars thing. They've got the shell. They're taking what Star Wars is, and they're killing off everything to do with what everybody loves about it, and they're turning it into whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, but
that's kind of the way I'm still wrestling with how I feel about the movie.
Of course.
And I'm still wrestling with where I'm at with. So these aren't final thoughts on it. This is just kind of where I am right now. No. Like,
and I get that.
Four days past.
I'm just thinking, like, for the new fan base, like, this is like, as so, you know, like, when we watched this, it was a young Luke, it was a young Leia, and it was a young Harrison Ford, for Han Solo. They're now old, and it's going to be very difficult for that new fan base to follow their antics when they're old people, and that's how they'll look at them. So they have to, like we're saying, out with the old and in with the new, and it was, you know, that's essentially it is.
It's not so much as out with the old, in with the new. It's an aggressive out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah. Well, they're that old. They can't really do it much more. I mean, Indiana Jones. Right. Oh, my God.
Well, I feel like, you know, just in general, and this is just a comment on the movie, as a script, looking at it as a film, I felt like, well, A, I was glad this didn't mimic Empire. Even though it had Empire elements strewn throughout. I mean, it wasn't a beat for beat like Force Awakens was beat for beat New Hope. This one,
yeah, it was.
I feel like, I don't even remember where I was going with this, but as far as the film goes, it was struggling for identity. Like, I felt like they're like, okay, we got all these characters, what do we do with them? And a lot of the characters were just given busy work for most of the film. Like, and on one hand, it was cool because, hey, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know why they're going here. I'm just along for the ride, which felt refreshing. I couldn't call everything that happened. But then at the same time, I'm like, this is lacking basic structure that a good film should have.
It was like a lot of stories running parallel, but they weren't connecting the way that they should have.
it's like you were channel surfing and getting like 10 minutes of like lots of right. different movies.
Right. It's like they were creating this whole thing with Rose and Finn. They had that storyline going where they're trying to go and get the code breaker, and then they're trying to save the fleet, and then you have the whole Poe Dameron thing with, and I can't remember Laura Dern's character's name, but
Admiral sacrificed herself. That's
right. Pretty much... Which that sacrifice, I'm going to admit, was probably one of the best sacrifices I've ever seen.
I'm going to disagree badass. On that.
Here's why.
You're going to take
as far as like as far as epicness of going hyperspace through a dreadnought. That was kind of cool to see.
Yep. True, I'll give you that. But again, when you introduce a character and you're like, "Hey, she's new. Oh, this is a known actor. We know her. Hey, that's the Jurassic Park lady." And then she gets all bossy in the movie. You're thinking, "Oh, they're setting up a Poe Dameron, Laura Dern, Han and Leia thing. Like, oh, the scoundrel and the official. They're."
Which would have been excellent.
There's some sexual tension here, but it's too much of the same, so we don't want to see that. Oh, she's about to sacrifice herself. Oh, well, we didn't get used to her. We honestly don't care about her. And her sacrifice, while great and cool as a cool gesture, that should have been Leia.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Would have been a fan. But I'm going to tell you right now, honestly, you hit the nail on the head with that, and I didn't realize. I hadn't quite gotten to processing that part like that. But hitting the nail on the head with that is the fact that you brought in a known actor so you can create some sort of immediate connection with people, because like, oh, I know her. If you would have put anybody else in that role and they would have done that, you'd have been like, oh, well, that was badass.
I was distracted
I think they misappropriated the character.
Same thing with Benicio del Toro. It's like, hey, it's the collector. Hey, it's collector. That guy.
I'm going to be honest, I started to like his character just because of, I like Benicio del Toro and the way he does his characters. But then he just like kind of went, fucking, I'm out. You know, it's like, it was just done.
To me, it felt like, hey, I'm a known actor. I know the director. I can be in because I wish to be in Star Wars. And okay, goodbye. And I thought he would pull a Han Solo and like save them at the last second or something would happen. But it just felt like his passing through the film
Again,
just to have something for characters to do, and hey, here's a well-known actor.
But again, this plays to the whole writing of the movie where I'm talking about, where they're kind of just completely deconstructing Star Wars as it is. That's exactly what you would expect to have happened. And they're just taking it and they're changing the fundamentals of how Star Wars operates to the fans. And they're going, oh, this guy that you're getting connected to, da-da-da, and this is what you're expecting. We're not going to give that to you. And he's out. You know, he ultimately turns into what somebody that works for hire is, because he showed the moment where he was like, he gave her back the necklace and he showed a kind gesture. And you're like, okay, this is, you know, this feels like Star Wars. And then he just turns and flips on him. And he just shows that people are genuinely just horrible. They can be, and they'll just, whatever their motives are, that's what drives them. And that's kind of what I felt like they did with, they took a name, they pull you in, and then they flip the script.
It's hard these days with Hollywood to have someone in a role and them not be too famous. I mean, they could have gotten a lesser known actor or an unknown actor to play that part, and I would not have been distracted by his celebrity. And that's just a personal thing. I don't think that's a fault of the movie per se, because actors got to work. But Laura Dern and Benicio del Toro are big enough actors that just the minute they walk on screen, you're noticing, you're paying attention. You're like, hey, what's going to happen? And their celebrity overshadows the roles they're playing.
Well, because like Benicio del Toro, like one of the first characters I thoroughly enjoyed that he did was in The Usual Suspects. Mm. And he was just fantastic. I cannot remember the guy's name. I can't remember his character's name. It is completely, I just had it and it completely escaped me. I feel like a dunce right now. But anyway, so he created this great character. It was kind of like the same thing, that kind of that stutter, that kind of.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of the same mannerisms. He was kind of playing to that same character. But those characters. Finster. There you go. Thank you. God. I kept wanting to say Pinster, and I was like, that's not right. But he does. He creates a good character that kind of draws you in, just like he does with the collector and stuff like that. He doesn't have a huge role, but you're like, I'm interested in this guy. What is he doing?
So what is something in the movie that you didn't like? Because actually, I'm sensing a lot of thumbs up from you, which is good. It's good. We're getting a good back and forth here.
It's kind of is. But like, again, so...
And this could be a scene. This could be overall something you didn't like.
Well, I mean, it's kind of two things. I mean, okay so one of the things, sidebar is, well, not really, it's direct to it. The First Order. I'm really at, growing up, the Empire was just awesome. My Vader was badass. You know, I was always like Vader, you know, even though Vader was a horrible character, you know, just what he did, the atrocities
space,
and everything.
Space created, Hitler.
But, right. But everybody always like, he was the villain you wanted to be because he was this huge menacing thing. And now I find myself with the First Order. I have zero, I give zero cares about the First Order. I'm like, I'm getting tired of emo Kylo and his whining. It's like, put the villain, you know, quit having to have him take his mask off so everybody can see his face. It's like, everything now is like, you got to see the actor's face. You got to see the actor's face. If he's going to be Kylo Ren, Kylo Ren has the helmet. Kylo Ren wears the mask. Kylo Ren is trying to emulate, you know, whatever he's feeling. Now he's just like, oh, you know, with his hair and stuff like that. And even when that moment when Rey kind of Skypes him across the universe and she's like, can you put a shirt on or something? Or, you know, they even allude to that. Right. It's like, really, this is even awkward. Just even they're calling to it in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of get away from it. But anyway, so the First Order and Kylo Ren are really annoying me. The whole immediate dismissal of Snoke. And just saying kind of fuck you to that character.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And no, it was a great death.
Yes.
Not a great death, a great kill.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of dismissal of, there's no backstory. This guy doesn't mean anything. There was so much weight on him in the first movie. And now in the second movie, there's nothing. We just wiped the slate clean. Anyway, second thing, Luke dialing it in. You know,
Luke, mean at the end?
Luke, yeah.
Elaborate.
That really kind of annoyed me. I mean, he had the switch. Just get on the goddamn Millennium Falcon. Get on the Millennium Falcon and go with Rey and go with Chewie and go and be there.
You know, they showed his X-Wing and it's like, oh.
Right.
Showed him how to get that out of the water. How he's going to get off the planet.
R2 was there for like a minute. You just kind of went, okay, I understand that people are passing away that held these mantles of these characters. You know, what was his name? The guy that was in R2 that passed
Kenny
away.
Kenny Baker
passed away. The guy that did the voice of Admiral Ackbar passed away. Yep. So that character moved on. Carrie Fisher's now passed away. But so that whole thing with Luke. Now, I knew something was up with Luke at the end. Like, Luke suddenly appears to Leia, and all the gray has gone out of his beard, and his hair is light. And I was like, did Luke leave the island and go to a stylist and get some dye done?
Just for men, Jedi version. He kind of cut it in the beard.
There were some obvious things that said something was up. Because, for one, he comes out to battle, and he's got the blue lightsaber that he pulls out that we all just saw get destroyed moments before.
Yep.
And he's all the gray's gone. He looked like the younger Luke. He looked like the Luke that everybody wanted to see in the years between Jedi and The Force Awakens.
He made no footprints. He made no physical.
You know why? Because those are the moments that Jesus was carrying him.
Oh my God! What did? Well, that escalated quickly.
Kentucky. It's all Kentucky.
I couldn't pass it. Dude, that's what I'm surrounded with. You know, on my way home last night, I have to drive past the Creationist Museum. Yeah, that's always fun. Creationist Museum, next exit. And I'm like, I'm just going to keep on rolling.
You know, I wanted to go to that. I did go to the Ark Encounter, but I just couldn't bring myself to go to the Creation Museum.
I kind of want to go just see it just so I can be like, glad the tax dollars are just going to this, whatever's going on here. But anyway, I don't want to get off on that subject and me and religion. But that was the whole thing. It was like, it was a cool scene, but it gave us a chance to see Luke kind of in his height of power, I guess, of being a Jedi, but without really doing it. So they kind of allowed, they found a way to give us a Luke that we wanted to see without him really doing it. It's like,
right.
And then you just kind of make it up as you go, and then you just kill him. Like at the end, he's like, oh, I'm done. And then just force ghosts and then pulls a Yoda, you know, and that's fine. I mean, whatever. And I mean, he can still be in the next movies as a force ghost, you know, training and training Rey. And I mean, I understand all of that, but that's just kind of the part that I feel let down by. It's like, there were some good things about it because I got to see a Luke that I wouldn't have got to see otherwise. But at the same time, once you find out the end of it, that he was just dialing it in. I mean, it was like, you just make the turn, get on the Falcon, fly back with him, or pull the, you know, you just, those were the parts of the character that I was really kind of aggravated with. And when I was on Twitter and I wrote that, you know, like, I left the theater. I was like, I feel like I was getting bombarded with all these feelings of joy and happiness. And, you know, it was a good movie and a certain thing. But then I was like, I'm on overload. That's right. My problem. And that's what happens to me. I get hit with too much stuff. I'm like, great, great, great. It was a lot of filler and flash and bang and all this stuff. And then my brain is back here going, hey, there's something wrong.
There's a lot to process coming out of the last
in my brain. Yeah. And my brain kept telling me, it's like, there's something wrong. And then it took me a day or so to go, oh yeah.
I kind of feel that the whole Luke, younger Luke, I mean, it was, like you say, it was a younger Luke,
right,
that appeared. I feel that that's because in the state that he was in, and the fact that he hadn't trained for so long, that had he actually gone up against Kylo Ren, we wouldn't have seen this battle. I mean, Ren would have probably just done him in, and that would have been it. For starters, I mean, shit, the way that he just had every gun shooting at him, he wouldn't have survived.
He wouldn't have just walked out and done that either. Exactly. If he was a force ghost.
In order for him to do what he did, and in order for him to actually be able to face Kylo Ren, I felt like he had to do that, which is why you saw a younger looking Luke out there, because old Luke wouldn't be able to do that, especially since he's been on an island, secluded, sort of pushing the force aside. He hasn't trained. He hasn't done anything. I mean, he's just basically, well, not useless, but like he wouldn't be able to deal with it now.
Right.
So that's, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a valid point. And I mean, I I'm still in the process. I need to see the movie again. Honestly, I really do.
I thought Luke could have pulled it off. Like, of course, the hints that he wasn't really there. Subconsciously, we're like, all right, something's weird about this. And Kylo's like, I want every gun on that man. And after all that fire, I'm thinking he's going to still be standing there because, you know, Luke can withstand that. I mean, of course, it's expanded universe. In the comics, he's brought down Star Destroyers. The man is like the most powerful Jedi in his realm.
Which is what I wanted to see. That's why I felt let down.
This could have been the last hurrah for Luke to expend all his power to stop this. So I would have bought it if he was actually there, but it made better sense, and it was a smarter decision that, they were shooting at nothing.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I ultimately, when they started shooting, even though I knew something was up, like you say, you know, you're watching it, and you're like, something's wrong with this. I had no doubt that Luke was going to survive that. There was, even if he was there, I had no doubt that he was going to survive that. Right. So, you know, Paul made some good points in that, but it's ultimately not the way that I completely feel about it. You know, I do feel that if he could have, you know, the force is, you know, it is the force's will. It's, you know, I am one with the force is one with me. You know, it's going to be the will of the force and how that turns out. And I think that Luke could have definitely held his own even without training. As much, he could have taken Kylo Ren.
I mean, also think of it this way. This is the first time we've seen a Jedi kind of astral project while he's still alive. The guy projected his image across the galaxy to talk to his sister, to infuriate Kylo Ren, to buy the rebels some time. So that's actually a power that we haven't seen. And whether it was that rock or that perch that he was sitting on that helped him, that was...
Or did they just make it up for the movie?
Even as I'm saying it, like, all right, Luke, that was pretty badass.
Right.
And he did it again, with style.
That's those double-edged sword things. It's like, I loved it and I disliked it too because there was other things attached to it.
Well, here we go. The things that I liked about the movie is that
mm-hmm. yep.
this was this was a popcorn blockbuster. This is what you go to the movies to see. Space battles, people running around, a couple of fights. One scene that I loved that I wasn't expecting was the team up between Rey and Kylo Ren against the Royal Guard.
That was another thing I was going to get to.
And I was like, this is like a Tarantino Kill Bill, like, hey, let's have some cool fight. There was a lot of, it's almost like Ghostbusters 2. It's got moments. The movie has a lot of moments that I laughed, I thought were cool. I don't know. I definitely enjoyed it. I was entertained. Mm-hmm. The thing I don't like about the movie, and this is, I think, a symptom of myself getting older, and I've seen so many movies that I need more depth. We don't know why the universe is the way it is. We don't know why the galaxy is where it is. And someone online said, well, of course you do. It said at the crawl of The Force Awakens, Luke Skywalker is gone and the First Order is here. I'm like, that's not an explanation. That's a sentence. Why did the Empire become the First Order? Who is Snoke? Like, why is he now this Emperor figure who could command Force Lightning and has Royal Guards? Why should we care? Mm-hmm. How did he get there? How did Leia and the New Republic allow this? It's not enough just to say that's the bad guy, because it feels too hollow. And that
How did she become general?
I mean, I feel like the heroes of the Republic, Han and Lando, they got those field commissions like that. I could get, but it's almost like, all right, okay, after the Battle of Endor, it's not like the world changed just like that, but how did we arrive at this place? In The Force Awakens, when they destroy those Republic worlds, we don't even know the names of those planets, so why do we care? Right. We don't care about any of this. Like, it could be solved in a scene or a couple of sentences. Catch us up on the politics of the world, of the galaxy. Like, we had those scenes in A New Hope when they're sitting in the Death Star saying, oh, I've dissolved the Senate and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Just a couple of scenes to get us caught up on why things are the way they are. Because right now, Star Wars is very two-dimensional. Like, there's no depth at all. So I can't care about half these characters as we did the earlier ones. And it's not so much, they did it better in the past. It's just that this is episode 8. We're not starting over at 1 again. So in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of information because Lucas was world building. He was creating all this stuff. But now we're so far in, just that's the good guy, that's the bad guy, isn't enough. I need more.
We started at episode 4.
Well, it was still technically the first one we've seen.
Right.
Well, yes, but it was still
it's episode still
4.
It's still the first
one. Yes, but even then, there was still a whole backstory that we knew nothing about. You know, they talked about these Clone Wars. We had no idea. Subsequently, now we do.
As a kid, the Clone Wars was like one of my greatest trying to figure out what the hell.
What was that? And that's the thing. So right now, the kids who are watching this are thinking, wow, what the hell? Like, what was that? How did Snoke do that? Who is this guy? And now, because we didn't know how Vader came about. Now we do. We knew he was Anakin Skywalker, but we didn't know how did he become Vader. We just accepted that because we were young and we could. And this is what's happening now.
The world we live in. You're taking in a hypothetical, but the world we live in now has all of the movies.
Right, no. That's the thing. We're not starting over. This is episode 8, so
we're already eight
movies in. So it's not even whether we called it episode 4 or A New Hope or 1, whatever it is. Right. It's not like this is the first movie of its kind to come out that, okay, we don't have the whole story. We have the riches of, even if we just went by the movies, these last two have given you the least. And hell, Jedi was on last night and I was watching it. I'm like, okay, let me try to deconstruct it like I'm doing Last Jedi. I'm like, all right, well, there's Jabba the Hutt. We don't know who he is, but he was referenced in the first one. He was referenced in Empire, where it's like, oh, okay, we've had two movies where this guy has been after Han, and here's the payoff. So every character, whether they were gone into or not, they were either kept simple, because that's who or what they were. Like Boba Fett, you know nothing about him other than he's a cool guy with a rocket pack.
Boba Fett.
Whereas now, you say Snoke, you're like, all right, well, here's the big bad. If this was the first movie ever that was Star Wars, you'd be like, oh, wow, hey, he's the big bad. But since we've already had Palpatine, the Emperor, you got to tell us how Snoke, you know, came about and appropriated all that.
I suspect. Right. I suspect. Even, see, the thing is, okay, so even with six movies, there was still so much story untold, and that was brought to life with the animated series. And I suspect what we'll end up doing is we will get a new animated series that will go from six to seven.
Especially with Rebels ending.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So I think Disney have done this on purpose. I think that what they've done is they've created these characters for the kids who are watching it now. And so they've supplied the fan service for those who have followed from the start. They have given you the characters. They're saying goodbye to those characters, and they're bringing it in for the new generation. And by doing so, they're going to create new animated series. They're going to create, because it's Disney. They know what they're freaking doing. And with that, you're going to get merchandise coming out of your ass.
Yeah,
and
so problem.
You know, and so everything, and there's going to be those porgs are going to be fucking everywhere.
Jesus, can we just get rid of the porgs? I hate porgs.
I like the porgs. I will go honestly, on record. I like
what
the
is
porgs.
I want the I'm a fan of the space horse, whatever the heck that thing was, and I'm a fan of the crystal fox on crate.
That was definitely a Pokemon.
I think
that
they're like Velpux. I can't remember.
Those were Pokemon. There's definitely a
but those were pretty cool.
They were cool. They were very cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think had this not been Disney, and this had gone back to Lucas, back to when it was, Chewbacca would have eaten the shit out of that thing.
Oh yeah, that's what I said. Chewbacca should have stared at the porg in the eye.
Oh yeah, in the eye
into the other one.
I think what he should have done is just grab the raw one and just bite the head off.
Right. Well, that's a little hardcore. But
No. I think because he's a Wookiee. Why not?
He is a Wookiee.
He's a Wookiee. But that's so this is the thing. So what I think is going to happen is there's going to be the animated series, and it's going to fill in the gaps, much like what Rebels did do. You know, because even though we did know those, you know, first of all, we had the three, you know, we had four, five, and six. Those were great. And we accepted whatever was happening. And then they created one, two, and three, and we wished they hadn't, right. But they did. And they rushed it all together, but they did it anyway. And then there was still, even though we knew how Vader was created, there was still so much that we didn't know. And they created the animated series. And I think basically what we're seeing here is the same thing. They've set up like enough in the future that they can bring in an animated series to explain what we don't know and the questions that we've created. How did Leia become General Organa? How did Snoke take control of the Empire? You know, how did all this stuff happen?
Right.
It's going to be an animated series.
They could do animated series. It's going to be that, or it's going to be books.
The thing about this is that a good film shouldn't have to lean on three seasons of a supplementary show. Like, all they had to do was explain it in a scene. Like, it could have been on the Mon Cal ship as they were doing their Battlestar Galactica, retreat away from the First Order.
They're going to keep you guessing. They're going to just keep you guessing and wanting to know more.
But here's the thing. So it's like, and also, I agree with Brian. It's the fact that, okay, so this is 30 years later. And after the Empire was, destroyed with the Emperor, why would it not go back to them just creating the Senate? It's like, why did that not fall apart? Why did it then evolve into the First Order? And why are there still rebels? At this point, you would think 30 years later, they wouldn't be rebels anymore. They would be, again, be regular people. They would be the ones in charge if you have the Senate and so forth. And then the First Order would be the ones on the run.
They were rebranded as a resistance. It's like, all they did was just change their business card.
They continually stayed the same characters. Nothing evolved for them. The Emperor was killed, but they didn't go to becoming independent star systems like they did before the Clone Wars and before all of the those other stories happened. You know, when they dissolved the Senate and they gave all the power to control everything, that ended. So why not in 30 years work your way back to a working governmental, galactic government, and be able to, have the star systems in the way that they were before? Why is the First Order even a threat anymore? These are the stories that I need. This is the information I need in some way.
Here's what I mean about that. All this could have been solved in two sentences. They could have been on the ship and they're like, right. Yeah, one of the Emperor's aides, he was training all his people in force powers. One of them ascended to fill the void of power, and right. that's Snoke. That's who he became. Right. Like, one of those weirdos with the purple hats following the Emperor around. and you could hear that, and in one sentence you'd be like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. Yep.
I'm good. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, they dismissed him so easy. Why couldn't they give us a little information just that easy?
Like on Twitter, I read that, okay, Leia, after the Battle of Endor, started force training. But then everything happened and she couldn't continue it, which is why she was able to marry Poppins back into the ship. And it's like, all right, that makes sense. I get it.
I was okay with that. I was actually okay with
that. The smallest of explanations would have stated it. They don't have to, devote too much time to it, but... we get it. She's got Skywalker blood. She's got the Force. Right. So
that's what I'm saying. I would assume within 30 years that Leia learned to use the Force in some way. I did not expect her to die out there, and I thought it was cool to finally see her use the Force. You've never seen her use the Force except for the few moments where she was like, she would have that, her Spidey sense would go off about Luke, and that connection, but. It was cool to see her finally kind of show her ability. And ultimately, the next movie was supposed to be a lot of Leia.
Oh.
And she was kind of supposed to be the main through line to this. So now they've got to rework how that's going to go. But I remember reading when they were getting ready to film this, that the whole idea was that she was supposed to be like the main through line for this.
Well, there was a lot of Leia in this. Even when she was lying in the hospital, like, there was still a lot of her. And the one thing about The Last Jedi, and I'm glad they relied less on nostalgia, even though we had characters and situations that are from the originals, whereas The Force Awakens, every minute they're like, hey, look, here's the trainer remote. Oh, and hey, here's Holochess, and here's this. Like, nostalgia's nostalgia. This one at least had its own things going on, and it was good to see Poe Dameron again. It was good to see Finn and Rey and Phasma, who was like, hey, we don't know anything about her. Oh, she's dead. Okay, you're gone. But one bit of nostalgia that I loved was, and this is not even a character or a scene, is the reintroduction of all the musical cues. Yoda's theme, Leia's theme, TIE Fighter attack and escape from A New Hope. And it's like, oh, this feels like Star Wars.
Right, and I think that's some of the things that drew me in subconsciously. That I wasn't really honing in on, because like when they were on Crait and they were flying, and I'll kind of sum up kind of my thoughts on the whole thing briefly, but when they were flying on Crait and they that whole scene, I'm just kind of in that whole elation mode, and I was like, they finally kind of made a movie that starts to feel like it fits in with the original three movies. Not the prequel, not this. As like it felt like it kind of started, and it wasn't that part, but I think it was a culmination of the whole movie. And it was like, it was after the whole Yoda thing really kind of screwed me up for the rest of the movie, because I was like, oh yeah, they did it. They got Yoda in. And I think that's what they did. They suckered me in with Yoda.
I wasn't expecting Yoda at all.
I wasn't either. And I mean, that's where they kind of suckered me in. But, I did enjoy a lot of the movie. I enjoyed a lot of the aspects, but that was the thing. It was like, I think subconsciously that music was there and I would hear it, but I wouldn't put so much weight on it. It's the same thing they did with Rebels, and you and I have talked about it. They know where they know how to draw you in. They know how to put the right cues in with the blasters and the right sounds with the right machines. And then, you had an AT-ST, that BB-8 didn't eventually, knock the head off.
That was
so
funny.
But I mean, you had an AT-ST. It was I believe it is, from what I can recall momentarily, it looked traditional AT-ST. Am I correct in that?
I think it was upgraded slightly to the newer model, but it was still AT-ST.
Okay. But either way, so I mean, you had those traditional sounds in there. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because it was something I don't think I would have fully recalled until seeing it again.
I mean, music is so important, and I had a stack of napkins on my lap, because you hear Yoda's theme, I'm tearing up. You hear Leia's theme, I'm like,
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I did. I'm going to legitimately say, I mean, I did. I teared up. I felt joy. I felt happiness. I felt surprise, shock. I mean, so any movie that takes me through that range of emotions isn't a bad movie.
And I mean, here's a problem that I think lies in us. Okay, we grew up with those original movies.
Right.
We're now seeing those characters that we loved and idolized, Han, Luke, Leia. They're getting older. They're dying. And that's kind of reflecting us. Our lives are going on. It will never be the same. And these movies, while they're taking the pieces from our childhood, it's nostalgia. It's not taking us back. It's reminding us that things are dying. Whereas Rogue One was amazing because it literally took us back to that time.
I think that's what we
were in A New Hope time. So that felt so good. We're like, oh, yeah, Luke is out there somewhere. Han's flying around somewhere. But now we're like, who's going to die next? Which one of our people are we going to lose? And it's hard for us to deal with because, I mean, reflecting ourselves, this is happening in our lives. You know, you look around and there's musicians and actors that are going that, all right, you look at Star Wars and even though Han Solo is dead, hey, Harrison Ford is still around. But we know as we're watching the movie that Carrie Fisher's gone.
Right.
And subconsciously and even consciously, we acknowledge that. So it's hard for us to live in this world and not think of those things reflecting to ours.
Yeah. It's very true. I mean, it's like just the whole, just the thought, you know, just mortality being reality. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. Damn it. but I mean, it truly is. I mean, and those are valid points. Again, it's like knowing that the story can't always concentrate on the Skywalker lineage. And that's fine by me. You know, I'm not so like, I got to have Skywalkers in it. You know, I'm a big fan of Rebels, which does not concentrate on Skywalkers at all. I would love to see, I would love to see them in a live action movie. And I was thrilled to see the ghost in Rogue One, you know, and hear Captain Syndulla report and see Chopper in real life, you know, and stuff like that. I thoroughly enjoy those characters, so don't get me wrong. It's like I can move past those things, but it's like,
oh yeah, I mean the new characters. I think Poe Dameron is awesome. I love BB-8. Right. I think all the new characters are great additions to the galaxy, to the universe that is Star Wars. It's hard when we look at the original playing pieces, and they're moving around in this new universe, and it's pretty much they are outdated, and the only reason they're there is to end.
Yeah, and I mean, as we're talking on this, it's like I'm having this sombering feeling, like some of the feelings I had coming into this are starting to kind of subside a little bit. So it's like kind of talking through, it's like therapy for
Star Wars therapy.
Star Wars therapy group. But I mean, so...
Well, I think we found the title for today's podcast.
Star Wars therapy. All right, but...
Star Wars therapy,
Let's talk about this for a second. I am thrilled, and I hope he's not lying, I'm thrilled that Rey's parents are nobody.
Yeah.
They're not a Skywalker. They're not a Kenobi. Thank you.
But that's the thing. It's like it's just like Anakin, though. I mean, he was from nothing, you know.
I don't mean Immaculate Conception. It's not like, hey, this is Luke's.
I don't mean that. I mean like they don't mean like that.
They were setting it up. I felt like throughout the whole movie, they're like, oh no, Kylo and Rey are twins. Oh no, she's a lost Solo. Oh no, but I'm thinking, wouldn't Leia have remembered popping out another kid?
That's what I thought. Right. But it's like at the same time, you kind of like, yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. But how the hell?
That would have annoyed me.
Yeah, but it would. I'm glad that she's kind of like her own thing. And that's the one thing we really haven't talked about. And I want to kind of touch on that. And I'll start it off for a second. But we've talked about all the lineage and all the past because these are things that we are going to be most emotionally connected to and we're going to have the most reactions to. But you start talking about the new characters. And Rey, I think, has turned into a fantastic kind of focal point for this going forward.
Yeah.
Because her character, she doesn't take any shit off anybody. She knows what she needs to do, and she's going to make it happen. She's very aggressive with it. And just, you know, at the moment you think that she's going, you know, like for a moment I was like, God, is she going to turn? Is she going to flip?
I was wondering. Don't go in that dark side hole. Don't do it.
Yeah. And she's steadfast. I mean, she stood there and she held her own and she was like, no, I know this is right. I know what needs to be done. I'm not coming to your side. I know my path.
And she even pulled Kylo kind of to the good side. I'm like,
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, like, from the trailers, I know they wanted it to make it look like Kylo was going to kill Leia with that, but I had a feeling like, yeah, he's not going to push that button. He's not going to do it. But him, when he just joined up with her and they had that back-to-back battle.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That part was awesome. I seriously, I was like, this is badass.
But I was wondering, I was like, where are they going to go from there? Is she going to take him back to the fleet? Is it going to be weird? Like, oh my God, he killed Han Solo. They're not going to accept him.
If anything was going to be weird, bringing Kylo Ren back to the Resistance, just say, hey guys, what's going on? Right. I mean, I think Rey did I think that character, she's a strong character. I like her more in this movie even than I did in the previous one. Even though in The Force Awakens, I thought she did a good job. This one, she more holds her own, and she's definitely cutting her own path. Reminds me a lot of Ahsoka. She doesn't take shit off anybody. She knows what she needs to do, and that's her path. And Ahsoka Tano is a super strong character, which I would love to see in, you know, live action. But so again, I brought that up because it's like, how do you all feel about Rey as kind of the new focal point and creating a new, I guess possibly the new path of what's going to be the new Jedi? You know, she's the start of a new path of the Jedi, because she even says that she is a Jedi, but she doesn't have that old dogmatic training. And they even allude to that and the fact that Luke, you know, they're talking about how that was the thing that kind of brought down the Jedi Order, was their old ways of thinking. So whatever she is, and if she rebrands it as Jedi, just being the light, how do you all feel about that?
Paul?
Actually, I rather like it. It's going to sound weird. So one of the things I do like is the fact that there's a very strong female lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already had Leia anyway.
Right.
And now we've got like a very positive role model, let's say. You know, there's a lot of, like, you look at the Avengers. So we try not to mention Marvel, but we're going to. It's going to make every episode. Fuck it. But you look at the Avengers. Every boy has their role model in there, whether they're Thor, whether they're Iron Man, whatever. You know, growing up, we were Luke Skywalker, or unless you're Rob and you're Vader. you know, we had these. It was always male. There was always these big, strong male leads. And yes, I know the Avengers has Black Widow, but even that. It seems like her character is sort of getting watered down quite a lot lately. So, you know, seeing the focus, and it's not even just the diluted. I mean, like you said, she is an incredibly strong character. She's going to be the focal point of these stories. Like, whereas we were following Luke, we will now be following Rey, as well as the fact we have Poe and we have Finn, but they're just supporting. They're supporting this very strong lead. And I love that. I thought that was great. And I just, as far as the story is concerned, her story has been pretty strong from the start. Lots of questions. She doesn't know her past. You know, she's trying to figure out what's going on. But she's strong as hell. I mean, I would even say that she's probably stronger than Luke. I mean, the way that she picked up all those boulders with, you know, like, how long did it take him to lift up a rock?
And he had Yoda training him. Right. And he had Yoda. Figured it out on her own.
Right. So imagine how this is going to go. She's probably going to be one of the stronger of the Jedi. So, and from that, I mean, you know, you're going to get, we've already seen, you know, the kid at the very end with the broom where he just brought it to him. You know, we already, and he was a junker as well. So it was very Anakin-like. You know, that was a little, you know, thing. I thought that was kind of cool. But she's going to sort them. She's going to find them. They're going to create a new order of Jedi. And we get to be a part of that. We get to follow those adventures. And all these kids that would, like we, you know, like us using, you know, sticks and, you know, pretending that we were Jedis in there. There's going to be a whole new generation of children with their lightsabers, going out there, not being Luke Skywalker, but being the new Jedi. They're going to have, you know, there's going to be the girls with their Rey and, And, you know, you may even get a layer or two, but, you know, there's going to be a whole new generation. And that's what I love the most. It's like Ghostbusters. You see these kids into Ghostbusters now. I don't care that they liked it from the girl movie. I mean, I didn't enjoy that movie, but doesn't mean that they can't. And if right. that's if and if they're going to, you know, Rob, you, me and Sonia, we wandered around mm-hmm. the Ren Festival and we were getting stopped every 5 minutes by kids, by adults, by old folk. You know,
let's preface this with the fact that we were cosplaying as Ghostbusters.
We probably should say that. Yeah, right. We were. I missed out a vital part there.
Right. But,
it's okay, because we'll just create an animated series for that fill-in. But
oh, shit, you got me with that one.
Yeah. But ultimately, like, yeah. So it's bringing them, because, like I said, I don't think children watching Star Wars would be all that interested in an old man with a bright light up sword fighting another old man. You know, I think that what they've done, really, whether or not we thoroughly enjoy it, I think it's for the new generation anyway. I've stopped worrying. I mean, I don't know. There was a few times where we've watched a movie and I've just, even like the new Ghostbusters, I've watched it a couple of times now and I'm like, you know what? So I don't enjoy it. Or I see a lot of flaws with it. Who cares? It's bringing a new generation to what we loved when we were that generation, when we were those kids. Right. And by doing so, it makes it even more for me now, because I can go dressed up as a Jedi and everybody will know who I am. And I don't give a shit if people don't like it. You know, you know what it's like. We've been doing the whole costume things for a little while now. And, right. you know, and just seeing kids know who you are.
Yeah.
It's such a good feeling.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, when we did go, you know, dressed as Ghostbusters, that was the first yes. time I'd ever done anything like that.
Right.
And yes, it took me to 41 to finally, you know, kind of be okay with that. And the funny thing was, like, I was so terrified at how it was going to connect with people and how I was going to be judged and blah, 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 blah. And we go there and it was amazing. It was just fantastic. And just to see how happy it made kids and to be able to talk to a kid as a Ghostbuster, even if I was just, you know, have you seen a ghost? And they're like, no. And it's like, well, then I'm doing my job. You know, it's like, it's just the whole idea that it's like, it does. It's just the idea of it yes. connects with the different generation. And yeah. it's strange because even after doing that, I wore that same thing
to work
and I wore it I wore it to work on Halloween and I wore it out on Halloween. I wore that thing all day long and it was just a fantastic thing, just not, you know, just connecting with people in that way, right? So but that's the thing, it's like I agree, you know, it's like the more it puts it, as long as it's quality stuff, it's
yes
garbage, don't just put a bunch of garbage out. But as long as you're creating good content and it's creating more stories, that creates more of the universe for me. Even though I might not agree totally with that story, there's more stories in that universe to come.
Well, that's why I'm looking forward to Rian Johnson's next trilogy, because once we shake off the bonds of the responsibility of the old characters in the old universe, they're right. free to tell any and every story they want. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But now I don't think it's going to be a trilogy. I think it's just going to be the new direction of Star Wars.
Oh, Rian Johnson was given a trilogy.
Oh, was it just I knew he was writing it. I didn't know that it was a trilogy. I thought he was just writing the new path of the next movies to come, but like kind of the general direction of where Star Wars was going as well, kind of shaping the universe.
I didn't know it was movies, but I thought
it was going to be kind of more than just those two.
Paul hit the nail on the head with Rey. Like, even in the Force Awakens, you know, mm-hmm. Finn is trying to save the damsel in distress, and she's like, stop grabbing my hand.
Right.
Like, I don't need
It's an antiquated idea. It's an antiquated style.
And throughout all her actions, she's smart, she's capable, and you really are invested in her character. And that's definitely refreshing. I mean, all the new characters, Poe, Finn, Rey, Those are well-crafted characters that you are interested in and you do care about. So, I'm in.
And
I'm
even in. Even the new character Rose that was in them, I thoroughly enjoyed her character, and I hoped it, you know, even when she, you know, she had her hero moment when she saved Finn, you know, because she was so enamored by the fact that he was a hero of the resistance when he was trying to take, and that was just kind of a funny scene where she's like, I've been trying to stop people all day from taking these escape pods. Wait a minute. Why is your stuff, you know, and then she saves him at the end and she's like, he said that what or something to her and she goes, I saved you. And, you know, that was her hero. She had a hero moment. So, I mean, she's a new good addition too. And seeing, and I believe her name is Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
Okay. And seeing her at the premiere, just genuinely, like, she's a geek. She's a nerd. And she is just completely happy that she's just in a Star Wars movie. And she just was crying and everything because she was just so happy to be in the movie. And it was like, if any one of us were in the movie, that's probably about how we would be.
Oh, yeah.
Out there would be like, I'm just so happy. I'm in a Star Wars movie. And this is the best moment of my life. And it, you know,
I mean, it's a cool thing. Yourself hitched to any Disney property, be it Marvel or Star Wars, you are set.
Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. So, but that also kind of leads to the fact that I thoroughly enjoy, I mean, and some people might be like, oh, well, you're doing this to be PC, da, da, da. Not me, but I'm talking about the movie itself. It's like, but there was a lot of diversity in the film and the faces that you see going through it.
I recognize that. And
because it's a whole galaxy.
It's true. And that is absolutely on the nose. As a cynical New Yorker, I'm thinking like, oh, hey, we got this guy and we got that girl. And we got, hey, we don't have this category represented. Oh, there she is.
Right.
Oh, First Order. Bunch of pasty white guys. Got it.
Right. Got it.
I see what they're saying.
Yep. Well, that's pretty much right. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm glad that they're starting to show that there is not just, you know, in the human aspect of it. We all know there's aliens out there. It's a huge galaxy. Everybody's seen the aliens. Everybody's been in the cantina. They've seen the Gambit.
Yeah.
But, you know, now you're starting to see more representation of the humans. And it's, I think it's good when you don't just put it to one type of face that you're seeing. You're seeing many different types of faces. That gives you a better, well-rounded, I think, story.
So what's going to happen now? I mean, throughout most of the movie, we see that the Rebel fleet is being decimated. What's left of it? They're, again, I referenced Battlestar Galactica. They're running out of fuel. So how are they going to fight the First Order? And then we get to Crait, where they're having their bold last stand. Whoever's left, that's it. Like the rebellion, the resistance, whatever they're calling themselves, that's it in that little bunker. Moving on to the next movie, what's going to happen? Like, you know, we're seriously out of talent. It's going to be kind of a brave new world after this.
Funny you say that, because let me ask how you felt about this, because coming to that moment, it almost felt at the end of this movie like this was the end of the trilogy. Like you're watching, I kind of watched it and I was like, kind of for a moment, it felt like that was like the third movie in this trilogy. You know, it could have just been like, oh, well, that's it. We're out, guys.
Well, this was a movie that broke with the tradition of ending with the main character. It ended just with that boy.
Yeah.
And I guess that's
the future. The future is, there's nothing painted in the future. It's a wide open field. But that's the thing. It's like, that's why I feel like there's going to be a bit of a time jump. Maybe we go forward a few years. It's just a possibility. Nobody's even speculated on this. You know, J.J. Abrams is going to be back at the helm.
Right.
So is he going to pull us back into the same beats as he did with The Force Awakens? Is that the kind of movie we're going to get?
Well, this is definitely, whereas the other, like, the majority of the cinematic movies have been a Skywalker arc. We got to find out Rey's, you know, kind of.
I agree, and that's what we need. We need to start delving more into her. And I thought it was interesting that she kind of had her, Luke in the cave on Dagobah.
Yeah.
You know, which was always still one of the weirdest scenes.
Always trippy.
Yeah, and then but to have her have that scene, and to be honest, you have to admit that it looked like the shadow walking up for a second looked like Han Solo. Hey, even Paul agreed when I told him that. He's like, yeah, I kind of did. But then it turns
two people emerge into one, and I was like, oh, come on. Oh, come on.
Right.
Oh, cool. Good. They didn't do that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the thing. It's like, I am very interested in her story and how she's going to go, but are we going to, is she going to be more on the search, for who she is, or are we going to see her kind of starting to build this new Jedi Order to take on the First Order? You know, it's like, I would love to see, you know, her start to, you know, some ways kind of start pulling in new Jedi talent.
And, is she, and
if that's even what they're going to be called, you know.
Is she going to still have that connection to Kylo Ren? Because, I mean, they've got each other's number, and it seems like they can commune.
Snoke, well, that was all done by Snoke. Snoke did that. Snoke, he even said
He bridged their bright minds.
He said he was the one that was doing, bringing them in across the universe. And he even says that to her. He's like, you all didn't even know. And he goes, I was just kind of baiting you, basically. But so, I mean, yeah, that's going to be...
And again, and now it reminds me that I'm bothered that a guy who could do that, force lightning at will, take over the Empire, has a big scar on his face, has this gigantic hologram, we don't know anything about him, gets killed by a lightsaber through the side.
I kind of loved it because, like I said, one of my ways I feel about it, because like sometimes when you're watching a movie, I'm just like, it's like, you can control things. Why wouldn't you just do this? And it kind of took one of those, why wouldn't you just do this moments and said, why wouldn't you just do this? Click.
Click.
You know, he was completely distracted by his own ego in controlling Ren. That's what it was. It was his ego that killed him, because his ego was so concentrated on Kylo telling him, now take the blade and turn it and da-da, and now hit the button. He was doing all of that, but he was doing it with the Force. And it's like, that's your fault for putting a lightsaber directly next to you on your resting arm of your throne. You know, it's kind of like that. It was kind of like a kind of one of those holy shit moments. And you're like, why didn't I think of that? You know, it's completely, and it was plausible. He completely did what was plausible. Does it make it, does it answer any questions? Does it make it less anticlimactic? No. But it was still a plausible kill.
Definitely a plausible kill.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's just for me, it's just like, okay, we're going to find out some stuff about the bad guy, or at least we're going to have that Emperor gloating where it's like, no, you will watch your fleet die. Even now, blah, 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 dark side. It's like, oh, you're dead already.
I don't remember doing a lot of blah, 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 blah.
It was just all...
But that's the thing. It's like that's where they broke it.
In the Emperor's throne room. Oh, Emperor's gone. Okay.
Yep.
But now they have to take on the Emperor's henchmen or whatever you want to... His private army.
That was cool.
Which was a fantastic scene.
That was
very cool.
That was great. Finally actually seeing the Royal Guards, because you never saw the Royal Guards in the original movies do anything.
They didn't do anything.
Like, Vader picked him up and where were they?
I think half of them were mannequins. They just stood there. They're there for show.
Yeah. And these guys were like, oh, you guys done screwed up. And then, you know, it was an excellent battle. But, you know, I'm very curious and very curious to see the future and where it goes.
Mm-hmm. So I think overall, I will say for The Last Jedi, I was entertained. I definitely want to see it again. Some things I've seen out there that I kind of do agree with. It was probably a little long in the middle. Like, they could have cut some things out and made deleted scenes of them. And it would have been like, all right, I see why they cut this. Like, the whole... saving those horse animals and riding across, like, that felt very Harry Potter to me, and I could have done without it because it didn't.
Well, that's creating a new
plot.
Character. That's a new character that kids are going to buy. They're going to want the plushies.
Yeah, that's marketing. But overall, I was entertained, and I thought it was a definite improvement from the last installment. And hopefully this is a continued rising action through whatever the next movie will be.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it, Paul?
Oh no, I have to agree with you on that. I honestly, I've pretty much made my views pretty clear throughout this podcast. Is that I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, there were bits that didn't make sense, but I figured, you know what, I'm so used to at this point installments coming from prequels and sequels and, you know, spin-offs, that I know something's going to happen, whether it's an animated series or we get another Rogue One type of movie that's going to be the filler between the movies. You know, it's a bit like The Matrix, where they had that filler. It was actually the game.
The Animatrix.
Yeah, the Animatrix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did the Animatrix.
I do know what you're talking about, the game, too.
Yeah, the game as well.
which was right, horrible, so by the way.
I completed that game. It was okay.
I completed it too.
Yeah, I think it was pretty easy actually. So you kind of had, because you kind of had to complete it in order to understand the rest of the movie. But yeah, it was. I just feel like at this point in time, you know, I went to the movies. I enjoyed what I watched. I will definitely like to go see it more than once, which is what you want in a movie. That's what you want. You want spaceships and sword fights and jumping around and martial arts and, you know, it's space wizards. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's again, Star Wars therapy has been fantastic this evening. I'll be sending you both checks in the mail.
All right.
Good. Right.
He's about to get paid.
Yeah, yeah, you all is about to get paid. But that's the thing. So it's like talking through, it's like I do feel better about it. It still's not going to fix what I wanted to see. You know, there are certain things I wanted. Am I going to get that? No. You know, but I'm also happy about, again, that whole thing. It's like sometimes they've got to give you what you need, not what you want.
Right.
And I'm a big supporter in that. So it's just going to take me some time to wrestle with it. You know, again, it's maybe I'm grieving. I'm grieving for stories that are no longer going to be there. It's a grief process, letting it go.
Oh, I think that's true. I think that's a very true and a very valid point. It's too late.
Yeah.
And I think the only way we're going to get those is animated.
Yeah, I just came to that as I was saying, as like, this is grief. This is watching the passing of something that we know we're not going to get back. But we just have to take it for what it is.
Absolutely.
And where it can go from here.
Yeah.
Have I been a Star Wars fan for 40 years? Yes.
And are you going to stop?
Continue to be a Star Wars fan? Yes, I am.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to stop loving Star Wars.
Right. I enjoyed the movie. It made, like I said, it made me feel a range of emotions. It made me laugh. It made me cry. It made me want more. Is it everything that I wanted? No. Does it need more depth? Yes. Am I looking forward to what it is going to be in the future? Absolutely.
Yeah. Just because it's not there yet, we've got a long time to worry about it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Well, we have Solo coming out in May.
I have high hopes for Solo. I have high hopes.
So now they're reclaiming the May, I think it's the May 20-something slot.
I thought it was February. Oh, no.
That's no, right. No, it's May. May. Yeah, they're reclaiming the May slot for Star Wars.
Black Panther is February.
Yeah. So remember, all the Star Wars movies used to release in May.
Mm-hmm. Right, May the 4th.
And then, right? Correct. Well, somewhere. It was after that. No, it was a little bit later. Yeah. But 16th. But so the last one that actually did that was Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
and then we didn't get that with these new movies, and they're supposed to be going back to that May cycle. So we're going to get Solo, and I believe in 19, that's when we're going to get the ninth movie is supposed to be in May. It's not supposed to be in December, as far as I think I've read. I'm not 100% sure on that. Don't hold me to it. But so we get that, then we get Solo, then we get 9.
Solo.
Next, after that, I so badly, and I'm just going to put this one last thing out there. I so badly want a Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan movie.
Yes.
Please give me a Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan movie for the.
That would be great.
I will thank the maker many times over.
Ewan McGregor's Ewan McGregor's expressed interest. He's like, I'll do it. I would love to do it. Please, let's do it.
So if you go back, and so Nerdist did a movie. I think it was Nerdist, because I saw some of the people from Nerdist. They had posted stuff up, and it was on that they did a viewing for opening night for episode 8. And Ewan McGregor was there.
Nice.
And he looked like his beard. He had the beard cut kind of Jedi-ish. And I was like, he's kind of looking proper.
It would be great, and it would be decadent, and it would be such a middle finger to everyone if they did it. But like,
oh, the Force Ghost?
No, I would love to see. I would love to see the Obi-Wan Solo movie just be those days while he was, you know, hiding out on Tatooine and just have nothing happen. No adventure. He goes shopping. He's cleaning up his place. He does nothing throughout it's like Trainspotting 3, and he's just kind of hanging out and taking space heroin and just.
I just had a revelation of something. Has nothing to do with that. Question. And see, and this is just came up. So since Luke in human form, in the physical form, can project himself in that way, and we see that he can project himself younger, as we have clearly seen with Anakin taking the place, or Hayden Christensen taking the place as the Force Ghost, you can clearly de-age yourself in with the Force. Will we get
a Ewan McGregor Force Ghost?
Not a Force Ghost. Well, maybe. But can he project himself as a living being in the same way a living being can present? You know, you see what I'm saying? How Luke presented himself on Crate as thinking that he's there? Can the Force Ghost version, since it's basically still the same entity, give us a living-looking version to be able to interact with the world in the same way?
I guess if the writers want to find a way for it, they can pretty much do anything they want. But I guess as of right now, Force Ghosts, the living projected a living thing. So now that Luke is one with the Force, he can pop up as a, you know, however he wants. But Ewan McGregor, I know he I don't know where I read this. It was probably on Twitter somewhere, but he says, hey, I wouldn't mind being in the next one.
Oh, I've read multiple articles where he said that, but he's kind of getting sick of being asked if he would like to be it. And he's like, I've clearly stated that I would like to be in it. I've got to wait on them. I can't make them make the movie and make them ask me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get like, you know, they talk to Billy Dee Williams and they're like, hey, it'd be great for Lando to be in it. And they're like, yeah, well, he's just not in it.
And, right.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where the next movie takes us. Who knows what kind of little nods and bow out.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably still going to be plenty of little nods and little fan service that we probably still will see a Lando Calrissian show up somewhere. Honestly, I kind of almost thought he was going to be the hacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
I thought there was a slight glimmer.
Well, I didn't think that, but that would have been interesting. But
works right. Every time.
60% of the time works 100% of the time
with a Colt 45.
All right.
How's it going, Chewbacca? Well, given what we've kind of arrived at in this episode, it's probably best that there's no Ewan McGregor or Obi-Wan Force Ghost in the next movie. Like, we're trying to let go of the old things. So, Obi-Wan solo movie, I am all about.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%. But then, who knows what else we're going to get after that? Are we going to get a Yoda, a young Yoda?
Not a young Yoda.
In the peak of life, and we get to see him with flowing locks. I don't know.
Oh God!
I never want to see that.
But that's the thing. It's like I'm hoping the next movie, whatever they're going to, like, R2-D2 is absolutely one of my favorite characters of the entire movies, and he is kind of like he has saved so many things in that. What, you know, kind of what happened? You know, he was in the movie for like a minute. Are they going to just kind of completely phase him out? 3PO had a lot of face time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would like, if anything, I would like to see Rey take on having, you know, R2 as a side, you know, because BB-8 really belongs with Poe.
It's Poe's.
But it's like, do you move on from that? I did like BB-9E, which was the Death Star.
Yeah, the droid. Evil BB-8.
Yeah. You know, he was kind of conniving and, you know, kind of was up to their antics.
But, I love that BB-8 was in disguise. Just by
right, in a box. Trash can. In a box.
Now that's going to be an action figure you're going to want to get.
Yeah, BB-8 in a box.
An upside down trash can, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to cosplay as BB-8 one day. Just basically crawl around in a box.
Just roll around.
Yeah. Well, I was going to make a video game reference that y'all probably wouldn't get. Did y'all ever play the Metal Gear Solid games?
I remember I played Metal Gear.
Okay, never mind. Well, he would crawl around in a box and something like, never mind. I just bombed that one. I just took this down a notch.
Yikes.
just go ahead and you can edit that out.
We'll just edit that out.
Nope.
Yeah.
Right. Nope. Yeah. Honestly, that part's going to be highlighted and left in. We're renaming the episode.
Rename the
Rob,
episode.
I say Rob Bombs.
Rob Bombs. Rob Bombs, episode 8.
Yeah. That's where we ended. All but yeah, I did go back and pull up on the podcast app to look when we posted our original first episode, and it was December 23rd. So we're still a few days out from it, but
it was 5 days. Was it 5 days? Yeah.
Pretty close. Wow. Pretty close.
Yeah. So this is basically. I mean, it's funny that it takes a year for us to come back to Star Wars. I mean, that's grand. I love that. That's actually. I mean, that for me, that's fantastic. I love that.
It's a comfortable arc.
It really is.
Yeah. We'll hopefully be able to do more of these kind of throughout the winter. There's still a lot of things we need to get caught up on and talk about. Oh, things that have just kind of been bottling up. I mean, just waiting to
Thor.
Thor, Justice League. Like, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Thor was amazing, by the way.
It was so funny.
I'm going to say that was my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh my God. When Banner jumps off and lands on the bridge.
Oh, that was.
Yeah. So I got a new favorite character. His name is Korg. I like Korg. Isn't this
the
right
second
over here?
Time He's I saw new, Thor, new I had dog. Forgotten about that bridge scene.
The bridge scene.
It caught me by surprise again, and I laughed so hard.
Even just thinking about it makes me laugh.
Oh God! If we get started on this right now, we're going to have a 5-hour episode.
No, we need to next it now, and
yeah,
I think what we need to do is actually go watch Thor again.
Yeah,
and then
I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
I want to see Justice League again. I don't know if you.
I haven't seen it.
I actually really enjoyed it.
It's like a
7 out of 10 for me, and it was enjoyable. But it wasn't bad. You know, there were some problems.
It was better than Batman vs. Superman, but that being said, I don't care to ever see it again.
Yeah, right. See, I did. I it's kind of like, but Wonder Woman's still the best in the DCEU as of right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well. All right,
we've hit Marvel, we hit Star Wars, and we hit
DC, yeah, we'll come back so to all that stuff later.
Yeah exactly.
So, I guess with that, we're going to get into our Incom T-47 X-Wings. So we're going to fly back off into the galaxy, go back to a galaxy far, far away, and back to our own universe. And wrap things up for this episode, for this moment in time.
For more Geek Nerdery, make sure you search for 3 Geek Senate on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Or you can follow us on social media. Simply follow at 3 Geek Senate. That's the number, 3 Geek Senate, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
And we need you to go to iTunes and please subscribe. It's free. We need you to give us a review, 5 stars if you could, and share with your friends and let us know what you think.
My name is Brian J. Cano.
And my name is Paul Bradford.
And I'm Robert Buxar.
And we will see you next time on the Senate Room Floor. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night.